This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Noel. Now, in the wake of the pandemic, there seems to be an increased awareness of sustainable issues while governments have made it a policy priority. Now, in response to that, Maybank Kim Eng estimates that global issuance of sustainable bonds has grown from about $50 billion in 2015 to $323 billion in 2019. And in ASEAN, green bond issuance doubled to $8.1 billion in 2019 from $3.9 billion in the year previous.
The trend suggests that the global sustainable bond market has grown significantly and is poised to maintain this momentum amidst our rising investors' commitment to environmental, social and governance investing. And perhaps this is also driven by mandates of major sovereign funds, like, for example, the Norway pension funds. They are really big on ESG investing.
But of course, the question does remain of how does Malaysia's nascent sustainable bond market fare in comparison to its regional peers? Do we have room to grow, and what will drive demand? So for more on this, we have this morning Winston Poon, Head of Fixed Income Research at Maybank Kim Eng. Winston, thank you for joining us. So tell us, what is driving ESG bond investing in the ASEAN region?
Hi, good morning. I think there are two main reasons. I would group them into these two categories. One is increasing awareness and commitment to tackle climate change and other to be more socially responsible investors. And second is, I would say, the framework and having the widely accepted green bond principles is quite important. It will accelerate the growth and also promote standardization and facilitate issuances. Just to give you an example, within ASEAN, we have these green bond standards introduced in 2017. And over the past 5 to 6 years, I would say it's been quite encouraging because there's been concerted efforts driven by, for example, regulator, public sector investors, and a number of other market participants. They come together. And also, if you look at the United Nations, they have a set of principles for responsible investments. And an investment company can become a signatory to this principle. So if we look at the number of signatories globally, it has increased quite substantially. Started from 2006, and now the number of signatories has grown to more than 3,000. And within ASEAN, we have a few dozens of signatories. And if you look at the trend, the growth actually has been faster from 2017. And just to give you an example, within Malaysia, we have our big pension funds like EPF, QAP, and also our sovereign wealth fund, Khazanah. They are all signatories to these UN principles for responsible investments. It helps for ASEAN issuances. And I think currently, yeah, like you mentioned, it's still early stage. I think the potential to grow is still quite huge.
Ultimately, funds are also chasing for performance. Are ESG bonds necessarily better performing?
Yeah, thanks. This is a very good question. I think doing good doesn't necessarily mean that it will come at the expense of investment return, because there's some perception that investing in ESG mandates or bonds, it will come at the cost of lower return. Actually, within Malaysia, we can make comparison because the Bond Pricing Agency Malaysia actually published the total return for bonds, and we can make a comparison with the conventional or the broader market as a whole. Year to date, for example, ESG bond total return is actually 8%. As compared to the whole universe of corporate bond in Malaysia, is only 6.6%. But of course, last year, if you look at ESG bond, it's only 7.7% compared to the whole universe is 8.8%. So if you average for the 2 years, both sectors, ESG and also the whole universe, is actually quite comparable.
So how does the Malaysian ESG bond market compare to the rest of the region? I mean, can we attract foreign fund flow as local funds are essentially a captive market?
In terms of comparison with the rest of the region, one key difference is Malaysia has been a leader in the global Sukuk market. It has the largest share in terms of outstanding, and also issuances is very active. So that's why when it comes to ESG bonds, I think Malaysia have a competitive advantage in terms of green or ESG Sukuk. So we can become a ESG or green so-called hub for the region or even globally. And with by country, we do see differences. The drivers in terms of sector, the type of issuers are actually different. For example, in Indonesia, we have sovereign Sukuk. Indonesia issued the first one back in 2018, and they have continued yearly issuance since then, including this year. But at the moment, in their market, the participation by the private sector is actually relatively limited. Whereas in Singapore, we see a dominance by property and REIT sector issuers. While in Malaysia, we have quite a balance between solar power plants and also green buildings. These are the key two segments are driving Malaysia issuances. And I think Malaysia can consider sovereign green Sukuk as well. Just for example, next year, we have one maturity for dollar bond, Malaysia dollar bond, $800 million is coming due. I think the refinancing can come in the form of green Sukuk in dollar if we want to. In terms of drawing foreign fund flow, foreign holdings in MGS is high, but when it comes to ringgit corporate bond, it's actually quite low. The percentage is only about 1% to 2%. So that's why in this respect, I don't think purely applying a green label will change that. But I think what we can consider in the local context and how to bring the issuances higher is greening the government guaranteed or so-called GG bond sector. Because if you look at the composition of the GG bonds, the funds and the financing is mostly for the public infrastructure projects. And these are likely to be eligible projects for green bonds.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Winston. That was Winston Poon, Head of Fixed Income Research at Maybank Kim Eng, talking to us about ESG bonds within the ASEAN region as well as in Malaysia. And he made some interesting points, primarily that you know he addressed the perception that ESG investing comes at the expense of returns. And he says, in comparison to the rest of the universe of bonds and fixed income, actually it comes in at about it's more or less comparable. And he also talked a bit about the advantage that the Malaysian market has, which is specifically in the Sukuk market.
I think, I think there are some advantages. As long as Co-op and EPF are signed on to want to invest in ESG bonds, it would definitely encourage more companies to go in that direction. That goes without a saying, right? So it's the same for the Islamic market. The moment the institutional investors say, okay, we want to invest in Islamic bonds, and everyone just issued Islamic bonds.
Yeah, so we'll be watching this space indeed quite closely. But right now we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Noel will be speaking with Tengku Dato' Sri Zafrul Tengku Abdul Aziz, the current Minister of Finance. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news bulletin. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.